as I started that lead-in, what, 2 minutes ago?
Yeah.
I did. They've got... I've been telling you, I've been jonesing for an MMO, but I didn't want to play Elder Scrolls.
Yep.
So they've had beta weekends going on with WildStar, and I just really like the art style.
Like, what does it look like? Is it kind of like a sci-fi thing, isn't it?
It looks like Ratchet & Clank.
Okay.
It basically looks like it apes the entire Ratchet & Clank series. It's like, what if we made a goofball sci-fi, you know, with strange animals as well. But not in the weird, like, hot animals way, or like in the strange animals
way. Yeah.
I played it, I didn't put too many hours into it, I put about 4 hours into it. It looks good. It's a sharp looking game. It's got some goofball stuff in it. I kind of laughed in the first 30 minutes when you level up.
Yeah.
Like you run into this guy and you level up. And of course they do the level up screen, but the guy just is like, oh shit! You leveled up. They blank out the shit, of course, but it's pretty neat. Every level up is like a different kind of metal guitar riff. So it's got some humor to it. There's not a lot of, it's NCSoft, so there's not a lot of spoken dialogue.
And
it feels very, you know, feels kind of like WoW, which is fine to me. I'd like to play WoW again, just not WoW.
Right.
And so I wanted something that was a different style, and this is, it's kind of fitted a little bit. Some of the abilities are active in a sense where they'll set up a cone.
There's a trigger time. Yeah.
I didn't get too far. I'm playing that in Warframe.
Yeah, I loaded up Elder Scrolls Online again. Yeah. It's one of those things where I have 60 days of game time in it, so like I feel like almost like, oh, I should play it. And if I'm going to play it, I should play it right now while I've got this time ticking away.
The thing I normally have with MMOs is let me get to... You know, they either bite or they don't. You either have that grab and you're like, oh, I'm gonna, this is great, I wanna see, let me at least get to the end. Let me at least level my character and then I can put it down. And then other ones I just start getting into and I'm like, ah, this seems kind of crappy. I feel like it's something that I know by the third day.
Yeah, yep. I guess that's how I feel about Elder Scrolls. It's just kind of crappy. It's not...
I mean, look at... The thing with me, too, with MMOs, is because there's such a large amount of content in them, like, just the art that's required to make one of those kind of games is crazy. So, for me, the way that... In a bad way, I will always run away from a game that has, like, bad running animation. You know?
Yeah.
Like, if there's just bad running animation, I'm just like, oh, this is... I gotta look at this character for hours and hours and hours. I can't sit and just watch this weird jangle, you know, swing or whatever.
Right.
And that part, at least, in WildStar seems nice. The character stuff.
What kind of character did you create? Some sort of Catman?
No, it's basically, from what I understand, it's a space zombie, but they're not supposed to be called that.
Okay.
But that's what it is. It's basically like the Frankenstein sort of style creature.
But from space.
Yes. Yeah. And he's an engineer, which means he shoots guns. And they've got... I think what they have for their crafting or whatever system is you just pick it in the beginning. I picked this one called Explorer or Exploration. And all that does is that when you're going through zones, you'll get a little blip that'll say, oh, there's something nearby. Mm-hmm. And then you go find it and you place a satellite, which I don't know what it does, but it was easy enough.
Yeah.
I like that, where it's better than needing to hunt over and over for some sort of resource.
Yep.
But all the UI stuff, it seemed nice. It seemed worth spending some time. But of course, the beta is now done.
Right. I have to imagine that thing's going to be out relatively soon here.
It is. I think it's in June. So I think the open beta starts in May. But yeah, and then for some reason, I've been playing lots of Warframe.
Yeah, Warframe, I mean, it's short missions, you can just get in there and just, do something, and you're like, alright, I'm good. Mm-hmm. It's one of those games where every 15 minutes you get a nice option to just stop, go do something else. That's kind of how Trials is, or at least that's how Trials starts out, but now I feel like I'm just about embroiled in a real Trials nightmare.
Are you starting to get limited returns on those games?
Yeah, sort of. This one,
kind of Tony Hawk fatigue.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. This one just seems to have less variety than the previous one, and they're already talking about their awesome season pass and some of the free updates they've got and all this other stuff that, by the end of it, it sounds like it'll be a terrific game. But right now, it's just kind of Trials.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... it's weird, but yeah, I have started to get sucked into the leaderboards on Friday night. Dave Lang was running a live stream where he was just beating my scores one after the other and laughing about it.
I think I've got a bungee cord or something hanging off my back of my truck. I'll pull over.
All right.
This is our first roadside stop.
Yeah.
Well, you have fun contemplating life while I,
Yeah, okay. Well, don't get run over out there. All right. He is looking at the back of the car. He's picked up some sort of cord or rope. He is gathering it all up. Lowering the tailgate to get it all out. And, unhooking it from all the weird clamps and stuff in the bed of the truck and put the tailgate back up.
Everything's okay, Jeff.
Yeah? Car's already running. You don't need to start it again.
Well, then it stopped. I couldn't hear because the...
Wow! Yeah. Break loose in the gravel here.
That's why. That's why we have those off-road tires.
That's right. Yeah.
Not for the commute. One thing I learned on my cross-country travels over the summer was to spot exits like that.
Yeah.
That are up one way and then just down.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can just do a straight on and off. rather than the spins.
Right, yeah.
Because we'd have to do that. We'd have to make lots of pit stops like that to change diapers.
Oh, right, yeah. So you have like a box or something back there you can put stuff in, is it?
There's a little cubby.
Okay.
And I normally am much better with it. Get all that stuff set up, but I'd actually use one of those, like a red kerchief.
Oh, yeah. Like, hey, there's stuff hanging out of this truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did, oh man, I did like the worst tie-up. I was like, this is terrible. It's like, it's a good thing that I'm only 5 minutes away. I need to learn how to properly tie down lumber in a truck. Because I'm pretty sure it's not with the gate down, which I didn't know.
Yeah.
But you still need to get it secure.
Right, yeah.
But I think just tying it kind of the side is the best.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never really had to tie lumber into a truck before, now that you mention it.
We had a funny thing on the podcast, on the tested one, where we just did a user-listener one, where they asked questions. Yeah, basically a long-form bridge questions.
Oh, okay. Podcast. All right, yeah.
And a lot of people were asking online to talk about woodworking. And I talked about this guy that I follow on YouTube called Steve Ramsey. And then he posted a video that was like, hey, I was on Jamie and Adam's testing. He's like, well, not Jamie and Adam, some other guys. And I was like, oh, that is amazing. Like, I'm another guy.
Yep. You're not Jamie or Adam.
Yeah. But the better part is neither is Will.
I think they would have gotten just as much traffic and just as much, like, juice out of calling it Will Smith's Tested. Featuring Norm. You know, it's like something like that. You click on the front page of the site, and then Men in Black starts playing. People would have been like, oh man, awesome. They're going to show me how to make one of those flashy lights that makes everybody forget everything. So now do you worry that you've ruined him?
What, the...
Your woodworking guy?
No,
you expose an odd, you know...
No, it's great. He's just some kind of... You know, he's like a 50-some-year-old dude sitting in his garage. And I like him because he just works with, like, really cheap tools. And, you know, most of the time he's cutting lumber off the back of his truck bed.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
He's not fancy. He doesn't have anything crazy. He's somewhere in Marin. I think he's actually near us.
Oh. Yeah.
But, you know, has the very, that sort of, you can probably remember it, the Z Frank cutting style, or editing style, where it's just like three words.
Oh, right, yep. My least favorite thing on YouTube is people that can't get a full sentence out without a cut.
anything else?
Yes. No, I don't know. I try to mess around. You know, I was kind of poking around Steam. Descent 3 is on Steam now.
I saw.
And it doesn't run. Like, it's hard to get the resolution stuff right. Like, all the text is impossible to click on. And
Descent 3, though, wasn't a well-regarded Descent.
I liked it. I mean, it was not, you know...
As I remembered, it was like, oh, Descent's back. Like, there was a period of time between 2 and 3.
Right, yeah.
I watched that trailer. I was hoping that it was the trailer that I remembered, which was like, now it's time to bust out. And like, they, you know, they go out of the...
Oh, right.
You know, the underground.
Yeah. Now, I remember enjoying Descent 3. Like, or playing the multiplayer and stuff like that. But yeah, this stuff's weird. I don't... Like, good old games usually a little better about, you know, that stuff. Or dealing with older games than Steam is.
Yeah, Steam's just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, we'll still sell this game that doesn't work.
Right.
Like, Warhammer does not work. Warhammer 40K.
Yeah.
Out of the box. Or the RTS one by Relic.
Right, yeah.
Like, anything with Games for Windows.
Yeah, and that one's a hard one, because, like, a lot of those games are getting patched and dealt with, but with that one, with everyone, with THQ shut down, all that stuff, like, there's no one left to really do it. But, yeah, that's frustrating. So it's one of the things that, like, people tend to ignore about the PC, like, when they get all complaining about consoles and backwards compatibility and stuff. It's like, no, like, at some point on the PC, all that stuff breaks too. Like, you have a little, you know, just, you have more options about things you might be able to do and communities that might be able to help you, but sometimes, like, at some point, the out-of-the-box experience for a lot of older games is just gone.
The bigger thing that actually hinders a lot of those games is the just change in monitor resolution.
Yep.
Like, you know, you'll load up a lot of those old... I still have to bring up Infinity Engine games every once in a while, and they look like shit on a big monitor.
Yeah.
And you're like, this didn't look that bad. Like, it's not me. Like, this art is fine. And it's really just because you're blowing up these pixels onto these giant monitors. Especially when they start as 4:3 and then you're using mods to get up to 16:9.
Yeah, I mean, I ran into a case where with Descent, where, like, it was really hard to use the mouse because it was, like, such a low resolution that it was just, like, the mouse was just, like, from one side of the screen to the other, you know, and barely any movement at all. Like, I have one of, like, that...
Did you use a mouse?
Rat 5 or whatever, like... The original Descent? Yeah. Well, I mean, with the original Descent, I think I was trying to use a Gravis gamepad because... Like, the spatial awareness, I had not built it yet. I never had a joystick, or I never used a joystick for anything. It was like a gamepad or mouse and keyboard. So,
did you just stay away from, like, Space Sims and stuff?
No.
So you played TIE Fighter or something with a mouse and keyboard?
I played TIE Fighter with a Gravis gamepad, I think. Maybe I played TIE Fighter with a mouse. Maybe I played with X-Wing with a gamepad and then realized that was not the great way to play it.
It'd be terrible with a mouse.
No, it was pretty much fun. Like, you know, you had all the analog control you needed. Yeah, it wasn't that hard. I think they realized even then that, like, yeah, most people aren't gonna have a fucking flight stick.
Well, I didn't necessarily. I had like a little one. Mm-hmm. This little. It's almost like a thumb one. Remember the little PS2 one? It just had one button.
Yeah.
Like to the top left. It's like a square that was maybe this big. Button there, and then just a.
Oh, guy, okay. Know, yeah. Like
everybody had the, you know, if you spent some money, you got that gray-ass Flight Stick Pro.
Right, yeah. I actually do have a, like a, whatever, Microsoft Sidewinder Pro, the rumble with all the force feedback and the stick and stuff. I have one of those with a bundled MechWarrior 2 still in the box.
Yep.
I just got, right when I started at GameSpot, I think there were just a bunch of those sitting around. So I'm like, oh, let's take one of these.
MechWarrior 2 ate up considerable time in my early life.
It was so good. It was so goddamn good.
Also my first intro to clan stuff. Because I'm pretty sure all that stuff came from MechWarrior. Because they were called clans.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
And I just remember playing with this one guy, and he was just teaching me how to move my Mac. That was pretty much it. Like, here are the moves that you need to, like, learn. He was doing it, like, as if I had a live instructor.
Right, yeah.
Anybody who loved MechWarrior 2, that just led into Interstate 76.
Yep.
You're like, what the fuck is going on?
It's like, why? How did they take this engine and put cars in it? That's great, but also kind of lazy, but also amazing.
Yeah.
Can I put Groove Champion in a mech now?
Basically, that the Carter era, like, gas shortage had taken, had never, like, come back around, and the United States became, like, some sort of wasteland.
Yeah, maybe. That sounds right. I don't know.
I think that's
kind of... All I remember is, like, the girl got kidnapped or something by the bad guy, and you and your friend had to go save her.
Yeah.
She was your sister or your lady? She's your sister or your lady. Or she was one guy's sister and the other guy's lady. You know, probably. As these things go. Yeah, I think I started at GameSpot, like, sometime between Interstate 76 and Interstate 82.
82 was...
Yeah. But I remember being really excited for Interstate 82 and then watching someone play it and going, fuck, man, come on.
And that was in the era where the tech was moving so fast that people weren't necessarily reusing a lot of stuff over and over, so the franchises were so much less consistent.
Yeah.
That one was a bummer. X-Wing versus TIE Fighter was a huge bummer.
Yep.
I read a really long Gama Sutra a little bit ago that was about X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. That's one of the guys just talking about writing the TCP/IP code.
Oh. Because
that was one of the early ones I was trying to do it.
Yeah.
So my first websites, they're about X-Wing and TIE Fighter.
Yeah.
GeoCities pages.
A little early for bridge questions, but Barracuda asks if we'll see another Freedom Fighters in our lifetime. No.
I would rather have a Freedom Force. Mm. But I liked Freedom Fighters as well. Was that Pandemic?
No, it was IO.
Oh, it was IO. That's right.
That was why Kane and Lynch was so disappointing. Right, was because it was the game they did after Freedom Fighters using that tech.
That's right.
And they squandered, like, all the shit that made Freedom Fighters good in the process. Yeah. Like, all the squad stuff that was really sharp in Freedom Fighters was fucking garbage in Kane and Lynch.
Freedom Force was another one where they really liked the first one, and I was just kind of okay on the second one.
Yeah. You big Alpha Centauri fan? You care at all that they're making a new...
I mean, I like...
One of those, kind of...
I like Civ. I'll play it.
Yeah.
Of course I'll play it. I liked Alpha Centauri when it was out, but it was, you know, blue Civ. That's all it was.
Right, yeah.
I think people look back a little too fondly on it. I think it was, a lot of people were like, oh, it was the best Civ. It was just different.
Yeah.
And to me, it was like getting, Nintendo Monopoly. You know, like, what? It's still Monopoly.
Right. Or like Red Alert. It's still pretty much Command & Conquer, but set in a fun, different... Yeah. Environment.
Yeah, I like the Red Alert stuff better.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, like, I really liked the original Command & Conquer, but then everything they did after that that wasn't Red Alert, I was a little less interested in. Playing Dune 2, a ton on the PC. Like, that was right around the time when I got a PC. It was when that was big. Basically, when I saw Wolfenstein 3D, that was the moment where, like, I need one of these. And then it took a year or whatever for me to finally get one. Dune 2, you had to lay down those plates before you could build.
Yep. Which in a weird way is kind of, I guess, like the...
Like the creep or something?
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's so strange to me to think that that fiction inspired, the genre.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And at that point, like, I didn't know anything at all about Dune, the fiction, so it was just... Like, all right, I know that this is this other thing, this movie or this book or whatever, that I have not engaged with at all. So, yeah, all right, the spice must flow. Yeah, all right, look out for worms. Got it. Now we're at the bridge. see if this Bridge website is up or not. Doesn't look like it's getting updated.
Foggy Bridge.
Yeah. Kind of fogged in a little bit here. Was Dune 2000 any good? I remember it not being great.
Yeah.
Are there any films you wish were made into a game?
I was talking with Will Smith the other day about wanting a network television manager simulation.
Yeah.
The way that I describe it is that you can have it as like fantasy football, but for YouTube, where you have like a budget,
mm-hmm.
and you get to buy channels on YouTube, and then you project their growth.
Okay, it's almost like Hollywood Stock Exchange, but
yes.
Yeah.
So they'd cost more based on how many YouTube visitors they
right.
already
yeah,
have.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I always thought that there should have been a game based on Heat and like Payback.
There's no good heist game.
Yeah, I agree. Like some people really like
Monaco.
Payday.
I had trouble with Payday, you know, as with some of those four-player co-op games, they can be a little tough for newcomers, and you're just like, what? Wait, where am I supposed to go? And because there's only four dudes, it's really easy to see when you are the idiot that doesn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish I'd spend more time. I want, like, a story-based heist. Like, a long con game. Where you're, like, a con artist.
Like, those were the best parts of Grand Theft Auto V, where when you'd go on these heists, and, you know, they'd have missions that would set them up a little bit. And they didn't go as far with it as they could have, because, they, you know, ultimately they were making a larger game, but, like, that stuff was really well-realized, I thought.
So my movie would be The Sting. I would want to start as, like, a small con guy.
Yeah.
End up, like, in prison or something. Meet, like, you know, some mentor.
Yeah.
And then have some big, long story thing where I have to do all these... I have to set up the racetrack bets or
yeah.
something.
Yeah,
yeah. Just have, like, an old 1920s, 1930s style to it.
Yeah, I think the hard thing with, a heist game, though, is, you know, like, just the realities of content creation, and, you know, you have to figure out a good way to make them replayable. That's the things that those games don't really do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you play a Payday 2 or whatever, it's like, all right, we know that this is going to be, like, one of these three little setups, and run in here, do this, and hopefully no one fucks up, and then if someone fucks up, the other three players quit. It's like, well, great. I wonder how far Gearbox ever got with a game based on Heat, because they kind of had that license for a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. This is like pre-Borderlands, kind of before Gearbox was Gearbox. given their track record with movie games, maybe that's for the best that they are not pursuing it.
Gearbox is a weird company, I feel.
Yep.
They're super peaks and valleys. I liked the Brothers in Arms series. I thought that was, those were quality games. Some of the, like, I don't, the Duke Nukem thing was total left field.
That's, yeah, sort of a weird thing, because they, you know, I mean, they picked it up when it was so close to done that, you know, how much of that work was theirs, like, how much can you really pin that on them?
No, of course, but Colonial Marines.
Right, that's, that thing's just a...
That one just, it seems strange. Like, it's like, what? How did this come from the same place? Well, there is, I guess, there's a new DLC out, a shorty one for Borderlands.
Yep. And I think they're saying that's the final thing. Do you care at all about that new Borderlands they announced?
Is that the Telltale thing?
No, no, that's the Borderlands, the pre-sequel. It is set between the event. It's basically like Handsome Jack's Rise to Power.
Okay, and game?
Yeah, it's not being made solely by Gearbox, though. Like, 2K Australia's doing a lot of it.
But it's still a Borderlands?
Yeah, it's just a first-person. It's new character classes, but it, but it's also 360, PS3, and PC.
When's it coming out?
I don't know.
360, so not PS4.
Not new consoles.
I play it. I like Borderlands.
I think I hate the Handsome Jack character so much, and hate so much of the story stuff in Borderlands 2, that the idea that they are telling a setup story to that stuff is like, yeah. Like, what?
I always thought they were more style over substance.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I go for their, I like the look of them. I never expect much out of them.
Oh, also they are kind of pulling the ripcord by making Claptrap a playable character, so.
Oh.
If you were wondering if they're out of ideas... There's your first sign.
But I don't know. Like as like one of the main
characters? As one of the four, really? like playable classes, I think it's just straight up Claptrap, or if not the Claptrap, I don't know.
Well, to me, there's a difference between the Claptrap. You know?
I think it might be the Claptrap. I actually don't know. But I don't know. Like that's that sort of stuff. Just. And it not being developed by Gearbox just kind of signifies that they are probably working on something much, much bigger for a proper...
Yeah, good one, bad one. It's the Sotomayor concept.
Sure.
Go make your small indie film.
Yeah.
Make a big budget film after it. Hey, all right.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you've got a BMW, so...
Yeah, so go ahead and...
Yeah, CM4.
Well, she threw her hand up. She realized she had wronged you. Yeah, I still have Borderlands 2 installed on the PC and have all that DLC. I just haven't played through most of it.
The Dungeon Dragons one is as fun as I have had. Borderlands story.
Yeah.
And it does all the things that I like about Borderlands, right? Which is like all this shit's loosely connected together, but not really.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, when I look back on it, I think I just had a harder time finding weapons I really liked in Borderlands 2. I keep getting stuff that's like, here's an assault rifle, but it fires explosive rounds, so it doesn't fire very fast, takes up 4 ammo per shot, and all this shit, and it's...
It needs loot 2.0.
Yeah.
funny going back into that game because, you know, at a later point, which is kind of what I did, because you can get all the shift codes.
Right.
You know, at this point, there's, you know, you can load up with like 20 of them that have just been released and never expired over the years. I never liked that concept.
Yeah.
Like, oh, here, you get this code and open this box. Kind of takes it away from the game, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I always felt like coming out of Borderlands 1 that like the areas where they could have really expanded would have been like a crafting system and armor.
Yeah.
Like they have the shields concept, obviously, and they added a bunch of new shield types and stuff, but it always seemed like, all right, you know, the natural progression here is, you know, different pieces of armor with different stats and just do what you did for guns to armor. And give it some visual stuff too. You know, kind of just make the multiplayer, you know, make it so you stand out a little bit more in multiplayer. Because it is still just like the, all right, you unlocked a random skin here and there, and now you can make your guy blue. Great.
You have different heads, Jeff.
Yeah.
To me, Borderlands is very similar to Diablo. Like, you have fun playing it, you have a whole lot of fun playing it, and then you kind of bitch about it once you get to the end. You're like, eh, I don't really, you know, it's like you still want to play it.
Right.
Like, you love the game so much that you still want to play it more, but it's just not as satisfying. And then you leave it alone for 6 months. And then you come play it back with a different character, and you're like, yeah, this game's awesome, you know?
So I totally did that with Borderlands 1, and then Borderlands 2 just didn't. I disliked the writing in so many parts of the main story, and like I said, didn't really love the loot stuff.
Were there changes to that soldier class that you?
Yeah, definitely. Like? Yeah,
because I think that could probably.
Yeah, like the soldier equivalent class that they built in that game, I didn't necessarily like any of the character classes as well as I liked.
I liked the Necromancer. Mm. I thought that was pretty fun.
Yeah, Borderlands 1 was one of those games where I think I had every single achievement in it before it hit the streets. Because I had played it so obsessively.
And still 4 stars, as I remember.
Yeah, it's because the boss fights were broken in that game. At least 2 boss fights where you could just stand still and hold down the trigger to win. And one of them was the final fucking confrontation, so... Rack Hive. God.
Yeah, I would say a crafting system. I think you're right there. Just so that you can build the style that you like.
Yeah. And then, you know, like, that's the thing is, like, on the back end, the weapons are already severed up into barrels and stocks and parts and stuff. So, like, they're already doing all that work. It's just a matter of, like, all right, expose that system to people, polish it up a little bit.
You know what kind of crafting system I would want in a game? I hate that you always have to pick up shit that they drop and then put it together. Mm-hmm. And, like, you go through this farming. Like, why not just make it that as you kill, you just fill a bar? And it's like, then you could only get, you know, after so much time.
Well, I mean,
or just have it time-based. Like, you don't even need any materials.
Right.
Just have it be like, oh, it'll be ready in, like, but like 12 hours.
If you just want to fill a bar, then at that point you're basically just saying, like, give me better shops. And that bar is just currency.
Well, you want to be able to put the gun together.
But then just sell the parts. I mean, all right? I mean...
I think the time-based thing would be good. You could only do so many so you have to think about it.
Right.
And have, like, each better part, you know, if you want to increase the fire, you know, power or something, like, you have a level one that takes 2 hours, a level two that takes four. Just keep upping the time.
And then what if you could buy special currency that would speed up that process, huh? Give them, like, $2, and then you get, like, some gems, and then...
That's the crazy bit with Warframe, is they've got all this crafting stuff and all these other things, but, like, in the beginning of the game, you know, until you, like, unlock all the areas,
mm-hmm.
you just don't have the crafting materials.
Yeah, so, like, I thought that stuff was really confusing, like, because you're just like, okay, I have a ton of these and none of this, yeah. Like, I don't even know...
I made it, at least in that game, I made it to Earth.
So is that kind of like the, is that the, like the final area?
No,
or?
You go, it goes out.
Oh, okay.
So you start Mercury, so I'm basically in that third set of things. And the, I'm at least happy that the dudes have gotten a little smarter.
Hmm.
The bots or whatever. And they have like some abilities. Some of that free-to-play, the way that I play, like, free-to-play and MMO things, or I just look at it like a regular game. I'm just like, okay, it's, you know, what would I have bought for a regular game?
Right.
And I'll just put in, you know, $20 into it and have a better time and not feel bad about it. And get bored of it just like I would in any other game.
Yeah, I started playing, there's a Trials game on iPad, like, you can unlock fucking some costume in Trials Fusion if you get golds on certain tracks there and in the new game, so I kind of started messing with that, and it's like they found every single little free-to-play hooky thing and crammed it all into one game, and... So it's like, some bike upgrades take half an hour to complete, and, you know, you get random loot at the end of each race that then is used to reduce the price of some of those upgrades, and you have a fuel gauge that every time you start a race, it takes away 5, so, you know, eventually you run out of energy and have to, like, either give them money to refuel your tank or stop playing. That is my least favorite mechanic in those types of games.
Worse.
No, where it's like, all right, you don't get to play anymore unless you wait 5 minutes or give us money. Like that, I would think that they would want people to play the game so that they get more into it, so that they feel the need to pay for stuff.
I could see an economic model behind that that says, oh, this game costs us X amount per... You know,
right, yeah.
Per person that's out there playing it. You know, it's kind of like how we have to look at, like, Webhook and be like, well, how much is it going to cost to run each one of these sites? And if it's doing this, and if they're using that much, then, you know. Like, even just the bandwidth back and forth is a cost. Not that I think that's a good way around it, but...
It leads to me never getting that into a game like that, because eventually, like, I finally hit that wall, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm done with this for a while, and then maybe I'll remember to play it again, or maybe I'll have moved on to something else.
Yeah. Where they look at it and probably say, well, that mechanic does either one of two things. It either gets rid of the leech, or it, you know, gets the addicted people paying. and both scenarios are good for them.
Right.
Like losing you as a you know, customer probably is not their biggest loss.
Well, I mean, the game doesn't have enough social hooks and stuff to friends lists and leaderboards and stuff that, like, you probably want as many people as possible playing it to fill those out. Mm. So even if I'm not paying them money, if someone is trying to beat my scores and they are putting money in to do so, then I'm probably still valuable. Yeah, I don't know. That stuff.
It's the new economy, Jeff.
Yeah. My social currency.
Remember when Facebook games were big?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And now everyone's like, oh, Facebook games aren't big anymore. We need to make phone games. I'm like, I hate to break it to you, but a lot of phone games aren't that big anymore either, so good luck.
Tech world, it's the business fads. Everybody hears about the one company that's making crazy globs of money.
Mm-hmm.
And they try and replicate it by cloning it. That was McLaren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get a good look at it.
It's like $250,000.
That is an expensive car. I don't think I would want to spend that much money on a car.
I don't want to spend more than 30. Mm. I feel like you can get a pretty good car now for, like, you can get most of the shit that you want in it. May not be fast. But I feel luxury cars before used to be so much more focused on the interior. Like, that's
right.
What you notice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, you got a nice sound system. All that stuff now is just built in.
Right.
So now you're just buying style and...
Mm-hmm.
Passion and an engine. I feel like fast cars you still need to pay. What do you got going this week? You got podcasts?
Yep, podcasting today. Vinny's back in, I believe. And what else? I got a hold of a Kinect Sports Rivals code, so try that out, probably. That came out during PAX, so kind of catching up on a couple of games like that. And yeah.
What's the next big thing that comes out?
E3.
No games before E3? No big games? It's been kind of a slow year.
Yeah, you know, it's that ramp up where everyone's kind of in the middle of making their new console games. Well, you know, Watch Dogs is out in about a month.
Yeah, that's probably Dark Souls 2 on PC.
Right.
Probably get a bunch of people.
Yeah. Yeah, we're coming up on it. I mean, you know, like, we're already, I mean, kind of at the end of April, just about. There's, like, what, 6 weeks to E3 or something? was very assertive driving.
We need to get up there.
Yep.
Besides, gotta floor a truck every once in a while.
Yep. Blow out all the crap building up. All right.
Okay.
I'll see you tonight.
You're a passenger zone. I'm gonna drop you off in this passenger zone.
There's no parking between these signs. All right, dude.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya, chap.
See you guys later.